Best-selling author Robert Kaplan's new book, The Good American, The Epic Life of Bob Gersony, the U.S. government's greatest humanitarian, tells the life story of Bob Gersony, the son of Jewish Holocaust refugees and a high school dropout who was later awarded a Bronze Star for a service in Vietnam and conducted on-the-ground research for the U.S. government in virtually every war and natural disaster zone in the world. Again, the name of the book is The Good American, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Robert Kaplan to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you back.
Well, thank you, Joe.
What brought you to wanting to look at this life of Bob Gersony, someone who you know?
Yes. You know, in life often you know something, but you don't know that you know it until an incident happened and it gels in your mind. I first met Bob Gersony in a hotel, a cheap hotel, in Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, in 1985. This was during the great Ethiopian famine of the 1980s, where you had tens of thousands of refugees streaming across the border from Ethiopia to Sudan. And I crossed paths with him in the developing world over the decades, in West Africa, in Nepal, in other places. And I knew that he worked for the State Department and the U.S. Agency for International Development. And it always struck me that whereas journalists would interview a few or dozens of people, he would always go out into the field for weeks on end and interview hundreds. But it still didn't click in my mind. Then one day, about 4 years ago, a mutual friend of ours had passed away, and we decided to have dinner together. And we had dinner together in Washington, and I just casually asked him where he went to school, because I assumed State Department, U.S. Agency for International Development. He went to some fine liberal arts college or an Ivy League school, and he just said, no, I never went to college. And that struck me dumb. And I said, well, where did you go to high school? He said, actually, I dropped out of high school. I said, what did you do? You know, his parents, he had grown up in Manhattan. His father had made a fortune. What did he do? He volunteered for Vietnam. And that, so suddenly it just occurred to me that this was an extraordinary life story with pieces that don't fit together. And then when I started to interview people, dozens and dozens of people in the Foreign Service, retired and serving, they all said, oh, yes, Bob Gersony's a real legend. But he's completely unknown outside of the subculture of diplomats and Foreign Service officers.
One of the fascinating things, at least for me, when I was pitched this book and I started to read it, I felt a little embarrassed because I had never heard of Bob Gersony. And then you make the point very early that, well, there's really no reason that you would have, right? So,
exactly. In fact, I had a close friend who's very well connected in Washington and New York and Manhattan circles, and she said, I must be the only person in the world who's never heard of Bob Gersony. So I said, that's the whole point of the book. You're not supposed to have heard of him. He's the greatest humanitarian that nobody has ever heard of.
So before we talk about Bob Gersony, let us talk a little bit about what you have written about over your career, because you look at this role that America has globally, and here you are writing about this American humanitarian pursuit. So give us a sense of where this fits in your interest and in your career of telling this American story.
Yes. I was a foreign correspondent for The Atlantic for 30 years and wrote a number of books on foreign affairs. And I was always interested in geopolitics, realpolitik, American strategy, but I was also interested in what was going on at the ground level, because I knew that some of the most fateful, unfortunate policy decisions made from the very top could have been avoided if the high policymaker had only known what a freelance journalist on the ground 6,000 miles away knew. So there was this illusion of knowledge where none actually existed, especially in a Twitter social media age. There's an assumption that we know what's going on the ground in far-flung places like Tigray and Ethiopia or Myanmar in Southeast Asia, when in fact we don't. Because when you actually go to these places, you find out all these nuances and subtleties about what's going on that defeat, as I put it, you know, Bob Gersony's life defeated all isms, whether it was neoconservatism, realism, even idealism in certain places.
One of the things that is striking, so here is a guy who in 1976 begins a 40-year career as a consultant for the U.S. Agency for International Development and the State Department. What is fascinating is what an impact he had in that role. Can you talk a little bit about how someone in the federal government in that role, and really in a role similar to it, can have such an impact?
Yeah, this is the story of how one person lower down can make all the difference in the world to millions of people. That's why I called the book The Good American. It was a playoff against Graham Greene's The Quiet American and an earlier book of the 50s, The Ugly American.
Right.
This was The Good American. And Bob Gersony, as you said, he was a consultant. It's a fancy word for a freelancer. He worked on assignment and he didn't work on assignment for some of the major prestigious bureaus in the State Department, what are called the geographic line bureaus, like Latin America, East Asia. Occasionally he did work for African Affairs, but mainly he worked for the Bureau of Refugee Programs, which was not in the chain of command, less prestigious. Yet this mere contractor, because of the information he brought back from the field, eventually would have walk-in rights to assistant secretaries of state, even the secretary of state himself, because what he brought back from the field really was new. It wasn't the kind of information that shows up in normal diplomatic cables or traffic. It was how remote foreign policy decisions were affecting the daily lives of people on the ground.
And that is what is so fascinating, because so many researchers would go into these remote areas and they would talk to officials who were removed from those realities. And Gersony was the one who implemented these techniques for interviewing refugees who talk directly to them as to what was going on. And that information is really what changed things.
Yes. As a former Assistant Secretary of State Elliot Abrams put it in the book, he said he'll never forget listening to Bob Gersony's first briefing. The first time he was briefed by Bob Gersony had to do with Uganda in 1984, and he was listening, and then he recalled it to me. He said, this really was new. This was not a State Department brief. It was not a CIA brief. It was not any kind of a brief. It was raw. It was unfiltered. It was what was happening to individual refugees on the ground as a result of what the U.S. government was doing or was not doing. And Gersony's technique revolved around one basic idea, which is he spent his life interviewing thousands upon thousands of refugees, displaced persons, often poor farmers and peasants. And his basic modus vivendi was that you don't look down on this person. You don't, simply because they're a peasant doesn't mean that they're not equal to you, because they've been through an experience and you don't know what that experience was until you talk to them, and therefore they are experts at what they have experienced. And Gersony asked them politely to tell them about their expertise, to be a great listener. Simply because people, as he put it to me once, he said, simply because someone is illiterate does not mean that they don't have a good memory, that they don't remember well, that they don't know what happened to them. And if you put their story together with another and another and another, you get a picture of what was going on in this war zone or not that you won't get from all the experts.
The fact that some of these briefings would go on for almost a day, I mean, they would last hours in some cases, but it was difficult for anyone to refute the information because there was so much information and it was so detailed.
Yes. Gersony, as one of the people I interviewed told me, Gersony wears you down. He just wears you down with details. You know, because he hasn't interviewed dozens, he's interviewed hundreds. And he's collated all the interviews, he's put them together, he's ironed out the contradictions, and on and on. He was just so thorough. And one of the reasons why he was so thorough was Bob Gersony never went to a liberal arts college, but he did work in the commodity trade before he went to Vietnam and a little bit time afterwards. He was a math mind, a math science slash accountant's mind in a world of liberal arts minds. So, and because he knew about the commodity trade, he could relate to peasant farmers in sub-Saharan Africa and in Central America and in other such places. So as odd as it seems, he was perfectly placed to tell the story of refugees and displaced persons.
Robert Kaplan is our guest. The new book is The Good American. So I'm hoping you can give our audience an example. So you write about that the State Department wanted to know why refugees were leaving Mozambique and how certain NGOs were handling the situation. So give us an idea of what it was that Bob Gersony did that ultimately helped curtail the bloodshed in Mozambique.
Yes. But at the time, in the 1980s, we're talking about the mid-late 1980s, 1988 to be specific, there was warfare throughout southern Africa because the Portuguese Empire had collapsed. And in the void, you had pro-Moscow forces, Cubans, others, fighting against white South African supported Afrikaner forces. And so it was an east-west battle zone. And it caused innumerable policy battles and debates in Washington at this time. And at the time, the United States was supporting the UNITA rebels in Angola against the Cuban supported regime. And there was an assumption that the Renamo rebels in Mozambique were just like UNITA, and we should support them as well. UNITA was getting money because of a program called the Reagan Doctrine, which in the latter part of the Cold War was a program to roll back the gains of communism in the developing world. So there was this assumption that Renamo were the good guys. Well, Gersony goes out. He spends months going all along the borders of this sprawling country in Southeast Africa, Mozambique, former Portuguese colony. Mozambique's borders with Zimbabwe, with Malawi, with South Africa, with Tanzania, and on and on. And then he travels all through Mozambique, and he interviews about 400 refugees and displaced persons. And he comes back with the information that Renamo is not like UNITA. Renamo is a bunch of murderers and thugs and rapists with no political program whatsoever, and that they should not be supported. Well, Gersony comes back from the field, and within a few days, he briefs the Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, Chester Crocker. He briefs the Secretary of State, George Shultz, and President Reagan's daughter, Maureen. And as a result, the policy has changed. Renamo does not get any money from the Reagan Doctrine, and this sets the stage for the winding down of the Mozambique Civil War that would play a part in bringing an end to apartheid in South Africa in the mid-1990s. So it's a case where one man changed history. Former Assistant Secretary of State Crocker said to me, he said, three people were influential in bringing the Mozambique War to a conclusion: Bob Gersony, Maureen Reagan, and Margaret Thatcher.
Doesn't it also illustrate, however, that the humanitarian role of America is extremely fragile?
It's fragile, and yet it's necessary. Because without a humanitarian role, we are reduced to being playing just one-dimensional realpolitik, like Chinese foreign policy today or like Russian foreign policy today. It's the humanitarian role that is crucial, because realism without a dose of idealism is not realistic at all.
So to have a guy like Bob Gersony, who is not only idealistic but also pragmatic, there are a million ways to ask this question, but I'll go with this one. Do they make him like him anymore? Do they make him like they used to? And is somebody like Bob Gersony able to function in the current government structure that we have going on?
Yeah, the last part of your question is key, because, of course, even back then, they didn't make him like Bob Gersony. He was a totally unique individual, a man of parts that normally don't fit together. So the question is, can you make the bureaucracy in such a way that encourages individual thinking and reporting from the field? Because of email and all the email traffic, diplomats are often chained to their desks in foreign embassies, unable to get outside of the nation, the capital of the country they're posted, and travel around and brief, and as a result, write cables that brief Washington about what is really going on the ground. So it's a matter of bureaucratic changes that allow diplomats more freedom, and also do not persecute them if they come back with information that goes against the policy. Because Gersony periodically came back with information from the Ethiopian-Somalian border, from the Sudanese-Chad border, that went against the grain of the policy. And he made it through. He was not relieved. He kept on getting assignments, but it was hard.
With us emerging after 4 years of America First, where are we when it comes to empathy and being concerned about problems around the world, especially as, you know, we're dealing with our own coup?
Yeah. In Bob Gersony's day, which was the day of the late Cold War and the post-Cold War, America was a vibrant middle-class country with a robust, healthy, confident middle class that was able to support very generous foreign aid programs, as well as other things that go with a liberal internationalist foreign policy. The Biden administration has inherited a country very different. A country not only is divided, but with a middle class that is less robust than it was during the Cold War years, and is divided into an upper middle and a lower middle, drifting towards poverty. So there's less latitude. For instance, Bob Gersony was sent to northern Uganda in 1997 to investigate the Lord's Resistance Army, because this was a time after the Berlin Wall fell, but before 9/11, when America cared about every inch of the world and what was going on in every inch of the world in terms of human rights. So it's harder now, but I do think it's still possible. I think we can rejuvenate the State Department, rejuvenate USAID to make a difference.
What did Bob Gersony make of this project?
Initially, what he wanted to do was just have his own website where he would post his reports from his career and some photos for the sake of his children. So his children would know kind of what their dad had done. And when I approached him with this project, he was cooperative, but he was a bit hesitant. He didn't think he was that important. This is someone with a very reduced ego.
So what does he make and would make of the current situation that you described a moment ago?
I think he would generally agree that the nation cannot afford another Iraq or Afghan war because that drives more Americans towards isolationism. But the nation has to stay engaged overseas in a big way because we live in an increasingly smaller, more claustrophobic world where crisis zones are interconnected with each other because of digital communications as never before. And therefore, we're no longer protected by two oceans in the way that we used to be. And therefore, we have to be engaged overseas. A disease in sub-Saharan Africa, a disease in China can affect our national security in this day and age as much as anything.
And just this, such a point of the book, too, is about the importance of allies, which also seem to be incredibly fragile over the past 4 years.
Yes. Gersony did not only work for the State Department and USAID, he worked for the UN as well. And he often got a lot of help and encouragement from allied nations, allied embassies from around the world. Humanitarian operations involve risk and expense, and you want to spread the risk and spread the expense, which means you want to do them as multinational organizations. Allies, the UN, are a way for the U.S. to project its power while lightening the burden on itself.
The name of the book is The Good American, The Epic Life of Bob Gersony, the U.S. Government's Greatest Humanitarian. The book is published by Random House. Robert Kaplan, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for not only being with us, but for a terrific book. It really is a fascinating read.
Thank you so much, Joe. It was a pleasure.
A great pleasure on my end as well. Again, Robert Kaplan's new book is The Good American. It is published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.